welcome to Head Games Radio with a man that we've really missed. We've missed Larry Weissman because he's so shy. We like Larry Weissman, and we're so excited to have you back. How are you, buddy?
Nick, it's good to join you once again.
How is life at USA Today? Are you guys, like, becoming media magnets now?
Well, more like media maggots, I would think.
It's like USA Today week. We've got Howard Balzer, we've got Larry Weissman, we've got Jared Bell. You guys are amazing.
We love to talk. It's, you know, there's probably nothing better in all of sports than this ability or this forum to talk about the best game out there.
Well, let's talk about the cult of the young quarterback. It's interesting how it's hit and miss. Tony Romo's in his fourth year, so for people that think he's a rookie, he had time to apprentice. Phillip Rivers at least had, you know, a full couple years to apprentice under Drew Brees, who's gone on to do well, and Phillip Rivers, that looks like the master stroke of this year. What are the examples, you think, of using the temptation, if you will, of the young quarterback in such a way that's really backfiring?
You know, I don't know that the San Francisco 49ers did Alex Smith any favors last year, you know, dropping him in late in the season to start. That's one of these deals where if you're going to let him learn and take his lumps, go for it from the beginning. I think it's very hard for some of these guys to just get, you know, plopped into a losing situation and you know, 6 or 8 weeks into the season and have everybody else roaring around them at high speed and they're still trying to get accustomed to just the tempo of the NFL game. But the other argument quite often is for a struggling team, this is how you buy grace. The Tennessee Titans might not have believed in the beginning that Vince Young was going to be all the things that he's been so far this year, but you have a built-in excuse for failure if you play a young quarterback, but you also generate a great amount of hope when the guy reacts well to the challenge and absorbs your offense and shows the great athletic skills that can win you games.
And I think also it shows a lot about the quality of the organization and how they manage their talent, especially at that position. If you look at Alex Smith, he had no offensive line to protect him. If you look at Matt Leinart, he has almost no offensive line, but he's so good, and at least he has so much talent at the skill positions that he can get some things done. What about Jay Cutler? It looked like an enormous mistake on Sunday night.
I thought that the timing was poor and that Jake Plummer was getting blamed for a lot of systemic breakdowns in the Broncos' offense. It would be foolish to argue that he was having any kind of great year, but that team is lacking the sort of tight end that it's had in the past, where the quarterback can run those little half rolls or naked boots and have a guy 8 to 10 yards downfield wide open. Running game hasn't been the same. Offensive line hasn't been the same. And the guy who paid for that was Jake Plummer. Now, if the Broncos have decided to, you know, begin tomorrow, today, by putting Cutler in, that's certainly their business. But if a guy like Plummer can't get it done for you, I don't see where the rookie's going to really help.
Yeah, he doesn't really have. Steven Alexander is a good, solid tight end, a backup tight end, but he's not quite a Shannon Sharpe, and they're having some drop-off with Rod Smith, and God knows he's one of the most professional players in the history of the game, but they're losing some of that edge that they've normally counted on, and they don't have John Elway there. And how many people would say, Larry Weissman, that right now in San Francisco, if they had a choice between Alex Smith and Jeff Garcia, that they wouldn't go back to Jeff Garcia?
You know, it would probably be a tempting thought. Most of those changes were made under a different administration, and that obviously set the ball rolling here. One of the things that's really helped Alex Smith this year, I think, is a little better coaching and a better offensive system, and certainly the fact that the left side of that offensive line with Larry Allen and Jonas Jennings has blocked so well and Frank Gore has run so well. But Alex Smith now has Norv Turner coaching him, and Norv pretty much knows that position. He knows the passing game, and he's very good with young quarterbacks.
And then you've got Norm Chow there with Vince Young in Tennessee. We had Rob Baronis on the show yesterday, and Tennessee is, I think, 5-2 now. It took a very short period of time to give Vince Young some of those basics. It looked like during a couple key plays in the fourth quarter on Sunday that he was going indeed to his second and third receiver, that he was looking off his receivers. What do you think is going to happen the rest of the year with Tennessee? Do you think this is just one of those hot streaks, or do you think they're going to continue to go on a rise?
Well, I think they can continue to play this kind of football. The danger, you know, that lies in comeback victories is that it means you were way behind. And at some point you are going to run up against defensive teams that will shut you down or will put their foot on your throat. I don't think you'd want to be down 20 to the New England Patriots for the sake of argument. But in that Giants game, the Giants just kind of went to sleep on them, and Indianapolis is certainly a soft defense that you can exploit in a lot of ways. And again, a guy like Vince Young, play's not over when it starts to break down. In fact, that's when the play might just begin.
We got an interesting quote from John Clayton from Thursday's show about young quarterbacks, and I wanted to talk with you specifically about the clear difference this year between the AFC and the NFC.
Yeah, I honestly don't. I think it's good, and I think in some ways it's bad, but let's put it this way. As long as the young quarterbacks develop and get to the point where they're going to become good quarterbacks, that's good. Where I worry is what's happening in the NFC, because, you know, AFC, there seems to be pretty good growth. I mean, you can see certainly that Phillip Rivers now is developing into an elite quarterback. You know, Drew Brees goes over to the NFC and is doing a good job for the Saints, but there's not many quarterbacks right now doing the same. Eli Manning having his growing pains, Rex Grossman having his growing pains. I'm sure Tony Romo's going to do that. And what's happening is that you're seeing some of the NFC quarterbacks, particularly the young ones, start to retreat a little bit. You know, Jake Delhomme, even though he's not a young quarterback, he's kind of hit a little bit of a wall right now. So how those guys overcome those problems, I think, are going to determine, you know, if the NFC is going to get better or worse, right?
That's John Clayton. How much of a premonition was it? Jake Delhomme playing a very good game for 58 minutes and then forcing that god-awful pass right when it mattered most.
And often that's the way of these things. It isn't so much how many good plays you make. It's the number of mistakes. Those are the things that most of the coaches will sit and look at. And the difference between a mid to upper level tier quarterback and a guy that you think, well, maybe if we had him on our bench, he'd be okay for a game or two, is one or two mental mistakes a game or one or two physical mistakes a game. You don't have to make a lot of them in a game of 65 snaps to really impact the outcome.
And Jay Cutler is a great case in point, because he didn't play great, but he played reasonably well, and then suddenly he forces that ball when he's getting tackled, and he has plenty of time to throw it down, plenty of time to not try to just throw it up in the air. So I totally agree, especially the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season, it comes down more to the big mistakes rather than the big plays in a positive sense. Let's talk more, Larry Weissman, about the AFC versus the NFC. What's happened with the NFC that has become ultimately a very average conference?
I don't know that there's a specific answer to that. We were having this discussion, probably in the early 90s, about the exact opposite, that the NFC was so dominant and the AFC couldn't win a Super Bowl game. I think they won one out of about 12. But before that streak had begun, they'd won, you know, something like 8 out of 10. It's just very cyclical in this league. I'm not sure that I can give you any kind of chapter or verse as to exactly what happens or why, but clearly the NFC is in a little bit of a downslide, a kind of mired in its own mediocrity, while the better teams appear to be in the AFC.
The interesting thing is the AFC is mired in a bunch of 7-5 teams, so it's not like it's really that much of a difference. It's like five teams at 7-5 versus 5 or 6 at 6-6. In our last 30 seconds here in this segment, Larry, of those teams in the NFC that are 6-6, who has the best shot?
Well, you know, I still like the New York Giants. I don't see why they can't win at least 3 of their last 4. You know, they played the toughest schedule. They've had a bunch of injuries. They acquitted themselves well against Dallas. They've just got to stop doing dopey stuff and focus on one play at a time.
I find it interesting that they have all of these personal penalties, these roughing penalties, these stupid penalties. They're like acting out like kids. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Larry Weissman from USA Today. We'll be joined by Merrill Hodge from ESPN Prime Time to talk about the Monday night game and also to talk about tackling. There seems to be an absence of that for a lot of teams in the NFL, especially against the running game. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.